Yesterday, I interviewed Lara Evoy of Production Matière Grise. She has organized two series of workshops, one called In the Eye of the Collector, in which she shows and introduces participants to a private collection, a corporate collection, a museum collection, and an artist's collection. The other one is called The Art of Collecting, which provides an introduction to contemporary Quebecois art. It was a wicked cool interview, and I'd like to thank her for being so welcoming. But let me hit play, and then at the end I can give you the details on the how, the when, and the where.
Trying to get people out of their, their kind of traditional sectors that they're comfortable working in. And so, you know, bringing citizens into what's happening in the arts and bringing artists out of the sort of the confines of the workspaces that they're used to working in. And the people, too. Many people, in whether you're in the arts or not, are looking to kind of explore that creativity in themselves, or at least be part of it, participate in some meaningful way, not just looking at stuff, which can be one way, but sort of go beyond that, you know, spectator role. And so I really see the workshops as moving in that direction, providing those types of opportunities for people. So basically, I've put together a workshop series on people who are interested in knowing more about contemporary art and have maybe been thinking about collecting, or maybe they've bought a few pieces, but they'd like to go at it in a little bit more of a serious way and find out more. And so I thought, it's one thing to run a space, you know how it is to run a space. There's a lot. I think it's interesting to run a space, and it provides its own showcase. But what I was interested in doing is sort of bringing art to people, and as opposed to people having to go to a specific space that's more static. Now that means that, you know, the type of work that I'm showing tends to be a little bit more raw. It tends to be kind of put up temporarily. So there's another quality to it. It feels much more like walking into an artist's studio, I would say, these workshops. And the other thing I was interested in is, contrary to, say, a museum space, where I think there's more public programming and that kind of stuff, there's still this idea that there's an expert that's teaching you or telling you what this art's about. And there's this dynamic that's set up where there's an expert and then there's the rest of us that are sort of trying to understand. Whereas I was hoping that the workshops would be much more about an exchange and a place for discussion. So yes, for example, I have a series that's on collectors. So looking at why people collect. So there will be a collector that's invited. We'll go into his or her space, either her home or her workspace. And then they'll talk about the work, you know, why they collect and some of the work that's there. But in a way, it's also to have people see that, imagine for themselves, well, maybe this is something that I have done or that I'd like to do. And I've purposely asked collectors that really are very diverse, you know, like one is a young man, you know, a young guy who lives with his roommates on the plateau, right off Mont-Royal, and you wouldn't guess that there's 60 art pieces in there that are from, young Quebec artists, and he has a really solid, interesting collection of works on paper from Quebec artists. And I thought his collection was really interesting. It was firstly accessible for many people, and showing that, you know, to collect art, you don't have to be a millionaire.
Especially with Quebecois art.
Especially with works on paper, and even, you know, very well-known sort of, quote, blue chip Quebec and Canadian artists, it's quite accessible. Having the artist talk about his or her work to people, you know, like it's often moderated, it's often mitigated, you know, somebody is brokering that relationship. Not only on a financial level, but often just on an ideas level. Yeah. We have access to the artist, you don't. We're gonna kind of control that, whether you have access, but only during these times. So I found that, you know, bringing people into studio spaces, having the artist sit in the workshop and be part of the group, and then it's only at one point that they stand up and the group realizes, oh, that person is our guest speaker, you know, and having them participate as well as everybody else in the conversation. And so just, in a way, kind of building different types of relationship with our artists.
Although they're frequently, I found, or not frequently, sometimes, I found that the artists are the last people that I really would want to have speaking about their work, just because they're used to speaking in such a different sort of language, that at which point, by doing the sort of making the creation of their piece, that's the language that they speak, and then trying to translate it into English, French, or some other sort of more spoken traditional language, they just don't get it. And at which point, so that in certain cases, I do find that having that sort of moderator, as you put it, does help, just because when you, yeah, it's the same way that if you have somebody who is, deaf mute, then at which point there are other ways to communicate, but they are not your standard issue.
Right.
And having somebody, or translate, if I need to speak to somebody in Chinese, that would need to go through a go-between.
Right.
And you just hope that that person is transparent and is passing things back and forth seamlessly without sort of implicating themselves in the whole conversation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when did, because if I got it correctly, if I remember correctly, you have one coming up at the beginning of April.
Yeah, I have, actually, there's a workshop on photography this Thursday, the 2nd of April. Mm-hmm. So I built, there's two series that are going on this spring in 2009. I have, one is called The Art of Collecting, which is a workshop series I presented last year.
Okay.
The same type of format where it's more of a nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an ABC. So we look at the art market in Montreal galleries.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the idea of collecting. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And look at photography, because that is an area people, especially people that are beginning to collect, are really interested in. And then the last one is looking at work by emerging artists and going to on a studio visit. So that's one series. And the second series is what I mentioned before, which is a series on collectors.
Mm-hmm.
So why do people collect? So looking at a private collection, looking at a corporate collection, and looking at a museum collection.
Mm-hmm.
So people can then, you know, sign up for whichever one that interests them. You know, the artists are in their studios, the gallerists are in their galleries, and there's, maybe it's the nature of the work, or maybe it's, you know, that's kind of different attitudes that or ways of functioning that have evolved over time. I'm not sure what the history is on it, but I know that there is a lack of coming together, a lack of communication. I know that some structures are trying to be put in place, but as you said, you know, they don't always include everyone. There's many artists that just don't have access to the Regroupement des Artistes en Art Visuel, which is the RAV that you know represents, you know, the artists in Quebec, and a lot of the people that I work with, for example, that are trying to kind of build their careers, often, you know, having spent time outside of the art world after they graduated, for example, it's difficult even for them to become have their own membership in these organizations. So there's a lot of people that end up on the sidelines, both as collectors and as artists. And I find that problematic. I find it in the sense that, you know, what do you do with those people? You know, so they're all interested in art, and so how to give them some kind of platform or some kind of space to at least show their work or talk or, you know, access work in the case of the collectors.
Mm-hmm.
I found that, I mean, in Quebec in particularly, this has been the case, but there's really one trajectory. You know, there's one road down which you must all go down this path. And if you deviate from that path, it's going to be really difficult for you as an artist or somebody in the art world to have, quote, success. You know, if you don't go down the granting route, if you're not recognized by these specific organizations, if you don't have your shows in these particular locations, forget about having them elsewhere, it doesn't matter. You know, there's this really prescribed CV that in order to succeed you need to follow, and I find that it's, you know, for those that are able to access that, that's great, but for the rest it's really difficult. And I just find that in other places, like I worked in Toronto and I think elsewhere, there's that route for sure, that route is always there, but at the same time there's other alternative routes, and other people are able to access these other routes and be successful at them. And it's a success on a different level. It's accessing a different type of population. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I find in Quebec, that is much more limited.
Yes.
And it's, I think in the end, it penalizes the artists because, in fact, many artists aren't able to earn a living from what they do. There's a very little collector base. I mean, all, you know, the artists love what I'm doing because it provides another window, another opportunity for them to showcase their work, get people interested in what they're doing, and potentially support them by buying their work. And even a lot of artists' organizations, including the AGEC that you mentioned, including the RAV, are also supportive of what I'm doing because it's the same for them.
Yeah.
And they realize that these things are important and that the art market, le marché de l'art, you know, in Montreal, is very small. And there's a lot of room for expansion there. When I started this, I had, you know, I didn't even know whether anybody would come. You know, I thought, I tried to do this in collaboration with a specific gallery or a specific space. And then I realized that, you know, nobody was really willing to take the risk as far, you know, at that stage.
That's so, what I say. Everybody's really insular. It's very fractured. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. People in the Belgo building don't see the galleries in the Belgo building.
There's a lot of, it's very territorial too. The art world is very protective. You know, there is funding, but there's limited funding. And, you know, everybody is trying to preserve that. You know, there's, you know, a tiny percentage of the population that goes and looks and is collecting and looking at art. And everybody wants to protect their contacts. You know, I'm not interested in that 10%. I'm interested in the 90% that don't go to the galleries. And so I feel like what I'm doing is not necessarily stepping on other people's toes. If anything, hopefully it's complementary to what's out there already. We have a lot of interesting galleries and public spaces. So when I began, I just, and also I guess I needed to take the risk. So I kind of launched a series without knowing what would come out of it. And there was, you know, people came, people signed up, and they were interested, interested enough for me to offer it again this year. And again, I see it as really a kind of a pilot in the sense that it's really an experimentation. And what I have really enjoyed is collaborating with different people on each workshop. So each workshop I've invited a kind of guest speaker, and there's somebody that's connected to the arts, whether they're an artist, a gallerist, a collector, you know, a writer, a critic, and they bring something to the workshop as well, to the discussion. They bring something to the table. And so it seems like I'm moving in that direction. I'm very reluctant to just tie myself to one particular gallery or group of artists, because I think that people are interested in kind of seeing a number of different practices and different ways of doing things. So I like the fact that I can kind of be mobile this way and collaborate in different ways. And so I think that for now I see it continuing in that direction. Class size is probably around between 10 and 15. So they're small, intimate groups. They're not too large. I've had as large as 20, and I find that, you know, although it's a nice dynamic, it's hard. People are really quiet. You know, it's hard to say anything, especially something you don't know, you feel you don't know a lot about when there's 20 people around. When there's 10 people, it's a little bit easier. And also, I've organized it so people can sign up for, you know, a series, for example, and they get a reduced fare. And so encouraging people to come to more than one workshop. So by the time somebody that, you know, has hit their third workshop, they're definitely more comfortable, which is really nice, because then you really start a conversation with people. And they can come back and they can kind of bring back what they've been thinking about over the last few months. So I think that I would definitely, I want to continue the independent workshop series, which is run through Matière Grise, and it allows me that mobility and flexibility. But I can also foresee where, you know, maybe there's a group that would like to have the workshops brought into a particular context. So I know that with some of the arts organization, we've been thinking about approaching, for example, the Jeunes Chambres de Commerce, where there might be an interest there in providing a workshop series for that membership. I think maybe I would just highlight the fact that I'm looking, you know, on the wall here I have work by an artist photographer called Alana Riley, who's going to be participating in the photo workshop. And it just, it reminds me that before I started the workshop series, I really tried to, you know, gear it beyond what I'm interested in and try to figure out why, you know, the people that were coming to me saying, we'd like to go and see artwork, we'd like to go and buy work, but we, you know, we need some guidance. And one of the things I heard from them is an interest in supporting local artists, first and foremost, not only, but first and foremost, and also emerging artists. And so I tried to make sure that included in the workshop series were work by either artists that were, quote, emerging, meaning that they're sort of at the beginning or, you know, in the beginning stages of their career. Some of them have gallery representation, but also trying to bring in people that don't, you know, because you can go see their work in a gallery already, and then artists that don't necessarily have a gallery they're working with, which is really an opportunity for the artists to showcase their work. I purposely have attempted to make these workshops as bilingual as possible. You know, I move, like many Montrealers, between English and French, you know, almost in mid-sentence, although I try to restrain myself. But I found that it was really important And people wanted to be in a group with both English and French. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, sometimes that's really tedious because I don't do simultaneous translation, so people have to have some kind of understanding of either language. I try to specify if it's discussion, you know, presentation in French or presentation in English. The discussion can always be in either language. Mm-hmm. You know, there's myself and others that are there that can translate if need mm-hmm. be. But that component of the workshops for me was also really important because it's at the heart of what our city is about. And I also think that it brings a whole other dimension. You know, some people came to the workshops, you know, because there were, you know, there was that mix that was there.
If you're interested in participating in any of these workshops, the easiest way to do so would be to contact Lara Ivoy of Production Matière Grise directly at 514-661-1383. That phone number again is 514-661-1383, or via the internet at their website, productionmatièregrise.com, which is productionmatièregrise.com. That's Production Matière Grise, which is Grey Matter Productions, but spelled or pronounced and spoken in French.